In Catholic Christianity, without any apologies, we intentionally bless things. We designate and dedicate elements of the material creation in order to effect a spiritual recreation. The Lord Himself, in His ministry of healing, used what today we might call a sacramental, when He rubbed a kind of paste made of spittle and mud on the eyes of a blind man. In the Acts of the Apostles, it is recorded that the faithful were cured by means of hand cloths touched by the apostles. Throughout the history of the church, there have always been blessings for sacred images, but for food and drink as well, for horses and farm animals, for houses and barns, for bells and swords, for wells, bridges, and roads. Our Catholic Book of Blessings has hundreds and hundreds of individual blessings to sanctify all manner of persons, places, and things. Mundane things are blessed to daily remind us of heavenly things. By means of these blessings, a sense of the sacred should permeate not only our liturgy, but really every aspect of our lives. We were created by God to live in relationship with God, to hear His voice, and to daily savor His presence. As St. Paul once urged, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever else you do, do all for the glory of God. Everything we say and do should be filled with the blessing and unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is always the special work of the Spirit not only to sanctify but to unify. Amid the bliss of that relational love that is the essence of God, it is the Holy Spirit who forever unites the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father. But with endless mercy and truly incomprehensible condescension, that same Spirit in this time of grace also unites those who bear the name of Christ to the one true triune God. The Holy Spirit is therefore the soul of the church, which is sanctified and unified as the very body of Christ by the same Spirit. As the psalmist once rhapsodized, how good and pleasant it is where brothers live together in unity. It is like fragrant oil running down Aaron's beard, even to the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon falling upon the mountains of Zion. There the Lord has lavished his blessing. Or, as St. Paul taught, the body is one, but has many members. But all the members, many though they are one body. All of us have been given to drink of the one Spirit. That is why the Catholic Church is rightly called holy, why the sacraments are holy, while the priesthood ordained for service in the person of Christ the Head is holy, and why the people of God constitute a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people set apart. It is the Spirit of the Most Holy Trinity that lives in our hearts and makes us holy temples of His glory and holy vessels of His grace. At Pentecost, when the apostles threw open the doors of the upper room, the crowds gathered in Jerusalem for the festival presumed that those men were drunk from drinking new wine. And in a certain sense, they were. They were intoxicated, not with new wine, but the new wine of the kingdom of God. They were on fire, inebriated, drunk with love, and consumed by the rapture of the Spirit of God. They shouted out the good news. They boldly began their mission to evangelize, first beginning in Jerusalem and Judea, and then to the very ends of the earth. There was a world to win for Jesus Christ, and they set about the task with joy and enthusiasm. Would they confront challenges? Assuredly. Would they know times of weariness and discouragement? Of course. Would they face persecutions? Certainly. Would they ever give up? Never. And neither should we. But like those first apostles, we too need to personally experience the ardor and the energy of the Holy Spirit. For in proportion to God's need for nothing is our need for everything from God. At this Chrism Mass, the entire Diocese of Peoria prays together here in our cathedral for all the transforming gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gathered here around this cathedra, before me, your unworthy servant, is the College of Presbyters, who teach, sanctify, and govern the people they are sent to serve. Many young believers are assembled here in this mother church of the diocese. Students from our schools and Newman centers, service groups and prayer groups have sent representatives to be here for this important Holy Week liturgy. The body of deacons, who are the hands of the bishop, leading the church in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, are also here, celebrating their daily service of God and neighbor before the altar of the Lord. Our consecrated religious are here, as signs of the kingdom, so valued and honored in this local church for their holiness and zeal. So it is good for the entire diocese to reflect again upon the stirring text that Jesus himself used as he began his mission of announcing the good news. We heard the words in today's first reading again in the Gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Therefore he has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and release to prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord. That same Spirit of the Lord must radically inspire the lives of all the clergy, religious, and faithful. Christ's church exists to evangelize, to bring back those who have fallen away, and to bring in those who have never heard the gospel. The sheer audacity of the church is to set out to win the whole world. And as Saint Augustine once said, woe to him who keeps silent about God. The holy oils we bless today are powerful signs of that shared ecclesial mission. The oil of the sick heals and comforts. The oil of the catechumens strengthens and challenges. The holy chrism inebriates believers with the intoxicating perfume of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the Spirit that fashions the church into the very image and likeness of God. So in a very real sense, the church is an icon of God, a living sacrament that makes God present. The Catholic Church is the visible Church of Christ, an assembly of the anointed gathered together to announce the good news, to serve their neighbor, and to celebrate the Eucharist. The Church's rule of faith is transmitted both in Scripture and tradition and reaches back to the shared experience of the rising of Jesus Christ from the grave. The church has its own hierarchy and consecrated places for worship. The church possesses the authority of the apostles and of the ancient fathers. The church's belief is manifested in the consensus of the faithful, in baptismal creeds, in conciliar decrees, and in papal teaching. Its revealed truths have the force of dogma and are based upon the testimony of the Spirit. The Catholic Church clearly embodies a determined and a fighting religion. We stand in opposition to our culture's antipathy to meaning, disdain for the sacred, and enthusiastic descent into human degradation. So, we can never be intimidated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Whenever the church seems to be beaten down, she always rises up stronger than ever. The gates of hell will never prevail against her. For those who follow Christ are rich beyond compare. They are bold and fearless because the Holy Spirit bears their burdens. They cling tenaciously to Jesus, standing before his cross with loyalty and courage. The rewards are eternal and unsurpassable. Catholics of the Diocese of Peoria, we worship an awesome God, and we live and serve in an awesome church. In this year of faith, in these first weeks of a new Roman pontificate, we must become even more eager to announce an awesome gospel to absolutely everyone we meet.